Welcome to another episode of Connecting with the Toms. I'm Julie, your trauma-informed movement coach.
I'm Dr. Tom, available from Arizona.
So if this is your first time here, we want to welcome you and we want to just remind you that this is a trauma-informed podcast where we explore everyday savvy tips for healthy living and empowering you to thrive in the face of life's storms. So today we're going to be diving into HRV. So HRV is something that, if you are not aware of, is a very powerful tool. I don't even know if it's, can you call it a tool? Yeah, no, it's a measure.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a tool. Yeah, it's a measure. It's a health measure that a lot of people don't know about it. They're like, I know about my heart rate and I know about my body weight, but what's HRV? So we're going to explore the ins and outs of HRV and why you should know it, especially heading into 2024, specifically because we're now dealing with a lot of pitfalls from the pandemic, and a lot of people are struggling with different health issues. And it's definitely something that it's really a tool that can help empower you to start living a life without fatigue and without dis-ease in your body. So that being said, Dad, do you want to explain what HRV is? We'll start off there.
So the three letters stand simply for heart rate variability. You mentioned most people are aware of their heart rate, aka known as our pulse. How many times a minute does your heart beat? You know, we'll say on average 72, let's say. And of course, it's throughout our entire life, it beats 72 times a minute for 70, 80, 90 years, or however long we're on this planet. So the variability component reflects the fact that, you know, everybody, you know, you have 62 beats, you have 72 beats. You know, people just make the assumption, oh, I guess the timing between each heartbeat is the same. And that's what's not true. Actually, there's the timing in microseconds between each heartbeat is variable depending on circumstance, situation, what else is happening in your life, what else is happening in your body. And so there are now tools to be able to measure this variability. And what has been found over the years that we now have a tool to measure this accurately is the fact that the greater your variability, the more variable the timing between each heartbeat, that generally the healthier an individual is. The lower, the less variable your heartbeat is often associated with more chronic illness, with more inability to adapt to rapidly changing components that are happening in everyday life. So it's a measure, for all intents and purposes, of how well your body is capable of dealing with stress and how quickly your body is able to adapt to different circumstances, to different situations, you know, different aspects of, you know, the we've talked about, you know, your cup runneth over, your cup is full. And when your cup is full because you're dealing with 5-6 things at once, people, you know, whether they break down, whether they have an anxiety attack, whether they have insomnia, whether they have so much fatigue they can't get out of bed, whether they get a migraine headache, whether they end up with digestive problems, whether they don't want to eat anything, whether they start having joint pain, musculoskeletal pain. In other words, it's any and everything that our individuals experience on an everyday life. But, you know, the way our medical system is set up, they're always going after the illness and not going after the underlying component of why you would have it. And a very good indicator, a typical indicator that we now have easy access to, is variability. And people can track their variability relatively easily, whether you have an Apple Watch or a Garmin or a Fitbit or, you know, some other device like that. You will be able to see, you know, how much does your heart rate variability change on a day-to-day basis. So from a clinic, from a doctor perspective, we do it, you know, more professional, we have a more professional machine, we'll say, that allows one to measure it. And we do different things. We do it when you're lying down, then we have you stand up, we have you do a Valsalva maneuver. In other words, we're trying to simulate everyday stressors in one's, you know, activities of what they're doing. So the first stress that we all experience first thing in the morning is going from a lying position to standing up. So your brain immediately says, uh-oh, you're standing up. Are you about to have to defend yourself? So you've gone from hopefully during sleep, pretty parasympathetic response, parasympathetic meaning that you're healing and your lymphatic system has been the most active. So when you get up, you know, your all your emunctory organs, all your elimination organs theoretically should have been the most active because during the night, the lymphatic system has dumped all waste products, toxins, et cetera, into those elimination organs, whether it's into your bladder, whether it's into your lung, whether it's into your colon. So that, you know, in the Chinese clock, the time of the large intestine is between 5 and 7 a.m. That's not an accident because theoretically you're up and moving and the body says, time to eliminate all those waste products that were, you know, accumulated overnight in the colon. You know, the bladder is full. Typically the odor of the first morning urine and the specific gravity will be the highest because you have dumped the most waste products into it at the time. Plus, theoretically, if you're getting rid of volatile toxins, you know, the breath will be the most vile, we'll say, in the morning than any other time of the day because you have put all these waste products into that elimination organ. So when you stand up and start moving around, the brain says, flight or fright, we're about to defend ourselves because now you're standing, you're prone to being attacked for all intents and purposes through our evolution. And so we can measure that. We can measure how much change do you get in your variability. And now we can translate that to a person's everyday life, to everyday things that you don't even think are stressful. However, what you think are stressful is a learned perception. What your brain thinks is stressful is something totally different. You go from parasympathetic to sympathetic, it means you're going into a defensive mode. So what we want to see when we do the test is a high rate of variability. You know, the term we use is the parameters of optimal variability. And there's a range on the test that I specifically use in our clinic that ranges from 1 to 39. The lower the number, the lower the variability. The higher the number, the greater the variability means your ability to deal with multiple things at the same time is usually pretty good. And it's an indicator that you will have a higher level of your organ systems being able to manage everyday life. Things that even when you think you're not stressed, your body may be stressed because you're eating the wrong foods. And your body has to digest something that you said, what's that thing? It's like, that's like a rock and you're there. I can't digest that. So you're stressing your digestive system. So, you know, we go back to natural laws or your joints are sore. You know, we get up in the morning and you're stiff and sore, and which is pretty common in my patient population. And that's the classic sign of lymphatic congestion. So, and then you start moving around and suddenly, oh, my joints don't hurt anymore. Well, you started to move stuff around. So, you know, the perfect example, oh, you didn't do your castor oil pack, did you yesterday? Or you didn't do your dry skin brushing, or you haven't done any type of regular movement and moving your muscles and moving your joints regularly to allow your lymphatic system to be in an optimal, you know, place to be able to cleanse your body in general. So that's a pretty long introduction to just the term HRV, but this is what we're talking about.
No, that's great. Thank you. Thank you for explaining that. But so Cole's notes version, basically what my dad's saying is that HRV is the amount of time between your heartbeats. It's that it fluctuates slightly. So it's the time in between. And so the way I've explained it to my population and my audience is, you know, the time between two breaths is really where the magic happens. And that is basically, it's the same idea. It's the time between your heartbeats is where the magic happens. And so what happens is that when we are constantly under stress or agitated or constantly getting these dopamine hits from like social media or, you know, the email pings. And I was just at the grocery store and there was a car alarm going off. And so sounds and it's if you're constantly being triggered by things in your environment, your HRV, it's going to impact the electricity in between your heartbeats, and that's going to, you know, impact then the rest of the organs. So that's what heart rate variability. It's a very, very powerful measure. It's funny because this is, it's a new year, you know, you always have new year, new me. A lot of people get wearables and they get them more for, I want to track my steps. I want to track my sleep, you know, and I ask them like, hey, what's your HRV? And they're like, where do I find that? And what is that? So that's often the problem is that, well, if you are using or wearing a wearable, you really need to tune into, I know the Fitbit app, for instance, I have a couple clients who have just Fitbit just updated their app. And so to find HRV, you have to kind of go searching for it. Same thing with the Apple Watch, you have to go searching for it. So it's not a ready in your face measurement, but it's something that to me is should be put at the top of the, if you're wearing a wearable, Oura Ring, whatever, that HRV is the first thing you should be tracking. And like my dad said, though, if you are wearing a wearable, so for instance, let's say you don't have a wearable, you're like me, I don't wear watches or rings or anything like that, because for me, it disturbs my electrical, my energy system. I used to wear one, went to an acupuncturist, and for me, I found that it was harmful to my energy. And so I've chosen not to wear one. So what are your options there? So we can, do you want me to talk about that now, I guess? What's an option if you don't have a wearable? Ahead. You want me to go into that now? So
yeah, sure.
Okay, so there are apps. So the cool thing is that there are apps on your phone that you can actually download, and you actually just use the phone, your camera on your phone. So the one app that I do recommend, because it's A, it's free, and B, it's really good. It's free, and you don't get all these ads really at the end of the day, because most of the free ones you're going to get bombarded with ads, is the Visible app. So it's Visible, and when you look at it, it's going to be like a yellow and blue kind of circle on it, and it's a long haul COVID app. So you can it's going to ask you to set up some measures or some things that you want to track in terms of your long haul COVID. So you can track your sleep or whatever, all different types of things that you want to measure. But essentially, when you're doing that app or when you're doing that measure, the guide, it'll often tell you it takes about a minute to do the measure. It'll often tell you to do it first thing as soon as you wake up. So, you know, so you're always doing it at the same time. But like my dad said, I don't necessarily agree with that, because A, you have to have a wearable, or you have to have something in your bed, in your room. And I don't like that, because that to me affects your sleep. So if you're that person, you're like, yeah, I'm going to wear that and I'm going to do it first thing in my bed, that's fine if that's going to be you. But I find that it's good to have different measures throughout the day. The Visible app won't let you do that. The Visible app, you only get one measurement in the morning, or whenever you choose to do it. If you do it, you know, first thing out of bed, or if you do it before your morning coffee or whatever, right? For me, I do it right before my movement session in the morning. I know I move my body every morning. I have got my set time, so I check it there. So I've actually moved. And so like my dad said, is that it's important to track. You want to be tracking the number. You want to be tracking while in similar environments, if that makes sense. Because sometimes you could be, you know, life, it's going to be different if you're standing versus lying down versus when you just first wake up versus at 3 o'clock or just before bed. So I am a fan of checking those different times. This is where the wearable can come in handy, because it'll give you times. It'll give you the score throughout the day. But if you're just checking it once, the Visible app, try to find a time that you're going to do it consistently, because you want to score every day. Okay. So that's just something that I want to throw out there. But there's some pros and cons to wearing a wearable all the time. The other thing I want to just say is that my dad talked about optimal ranges. Okay, so if you're listening to this, you're okay, what's the optimal range that I want my HRV in? If that's what you're thinking, you're going to go right away to Dr. Google and be like, what should the best HRV be? Okay, I want you, please, please refrain from doing that. Okay, because Fitbit, this is why I know this, Fitbit, Garmin, Apple, Oura, and Visible all measure differently. And my dad, you go to my dad's office, it measures differently. They all have a different measure. So you cannot compare yourself to somebody or anybody else with a Fitbit. You want to find your own baseline. Okay. So that's why I like the Visible app. It'll say you need to do the score for 3 days, and it's going to give you your average HRV. The key that you want to really want to focus on is your average. It's not, you don't want, you're going to have a high and a low. And then what's going to happen in the apps is that it's going to tell you based on your high and low score if you're having a stressful day or a not stressful day. What you really want to be tracking is the average number. Okay. So if you have an outlier, so let's say Fitbit measures low. Okay. So I'll just tell you right now. So if you're a Fitbit wearer, you know, lower compared to Apple. So Apple, like I see clients that are between, that are, you know, 40, 50, 60. Fitbit doesn't measure that way. If you're like a 50 on a Fitbit, that's wow. Like it's a complete, like you're, I'm like, you shouldn't even be listening to this. You're actually like, you're way ahead of the healing game. So well done. But Fitbit, like a good, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to say this is a good Fitbit score or this is a good HRV score. You have to know what your baseline is. So it's important to you to like, get a spreadsheet and start tracking. Like my dad said, with the blood test, the podcast we talked about a few conversations ago, you want to start tracking yourself. You want to track your averages, if you want to do it, your average daily or whatever. And that's really the number you want to look at. So please don't go to Dr. Google and be like, oh my God, my HRV is low because it's only 20. And I'm like, but that might be a good measure for you. I don't know. We need to know what your number is. Okay. That's what I wanted to say about that. But
true. The most important thing for anybody's health is yourself. The person you look at the mirror at every morning is really the person that we're interested in. And we don't have to compare it to somebody else. You don't have to go to a gym and see that this person is doing XYZ as far as their fitness, because for them, that may be all they need. And, you know, you say, oh, I wish I could do this or do that. It's like, why? It's like, you're not them. You're not living in their body. You don't have their physiology. You don't have their same biochemistry per se. So it's really about you. And the most important thing is that this is another information tool. Just like taking your blood pressure is an information tool, or taking your pulse is a tool. But now we have a tool that will give you more information on this path to wellness, which is what we, of course, all these podcasts are about, is how do we keep enhancing your ability to understand where you're personally at as far as your level of wellness is concerned in general. And the aspect of the using some device is it's another way of cluing in to how well your body is dealing with stress. And everybody thinks, oh, I'm under stress from work and my family life and job, and I almost had an accident on the way home, and you know, my grandmother isn't feeling well, and et cetera, et cetera. And say, oh my God, 15 things going on. I'm really stressed. Well, you may be really stressed all the time, but don't pay attention to it, because the everyday things that are happening to you are a stress to your system. So this HRV is a tool, I believe, that just like a continuous glucose monitor is a great tool for monitoring your blood sugar ups and downs over throughout a day, and not just once a year when your doctor does a blood sugar and says, oh, your blood sugar looks great, you're not diabetic. It's like, how do you know? Why don't you measure it for a month on an every day, five times a day, and you'll see how much variation you're getting. And you'll see also that it's not just about food that you eat, it's about your stress. So the last podcast that we talked about insulin resistance and diabetes, and invariably when I'm having my patients do a monitor, what we're finding is that they say, oh my God, my blood sugar went really high and I didn't even eat anything. I said, I know. What else were you doing? And they say, oh, I was this or that. I said, that's why heart rate variability is such an important tool, because even without measuring your glucose, you can, when you start putting some of these pieces of the puzzle together, you start to realize that why is insulin resistance going up? In the podcast, we talked about the importance of stress as being a bigger player in the big picture as far as weight is concerned. Now people start to understand that they're developing insulin resistance because the brain is seeing these high levels of blood sugar, not because that necessarily they, many of my patients eat extremely well. They're very, and they say, I never eat sugar. I said, it's not sugar. It's your stress. Cause you know, you could eat the perfect diet. You know, you could eat a keto diet that basically has no carbs theoretically. That's not theoretically going to raise your blood sugar. However, you could be under high stress and you would have really high insulin levels and significant insulin resistance. That's why I said in the podcast that the 110-pound lady could have insulin resistance, even though she's not overweight, because she can't manage her stress. And the HRV would be a much better indicator for her to realize that how she's affecting her physiology. So This idea that of what we're talking about is it's another tool that allows you to understand yourself internally, what's happening, so that you can in fact be continue to move towards this place of higher optimal performance, higher optimal wellness, which is again what we're mostly interested in sharing with you.
So what are some things that you can do to help manage your HRV? This is where basically every podcast that we talk about, if I ask my dad, how can I support and improve my HRV? My dad's going to say basic treatment guidelines, the natural laws, right?
The natural laws, right?
So we're going to do one of those natural laws together right here, right now. And we're going to do what's called bee breathing. Bee breath, if you don't know about it, it's Ayurvedic medicine. Everybody has a different name for it or whatever. But what you do is you actually plug your ears and you're going to take a deep inhale through the nose to get some nitric oxide. And then you're just going to hum. And when you hum, you're actually going to activate the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is a very, very important nerve. And we're going to be talking about it in a couple podcasts from now. We're going to dive into it a little bit more. But a fantastic way to help calm and get into a parasympathetic response is by activating the vagus nerve. So that's what we're going to do right now. Okay. So what I want you to go do is go ahead and plug your ears. Tongue should be on the roof of the mouth while you do this. And so what I want you to focus on is just notice, where do you feel the vibration go in your body? Does it stay in your head? Does it go to your throat? Can it get to your throat, your thoracic spine? Can it get all the way to your diaphragm? I don't know. Let's find out. So we're going to do three breaths. Are we ready? Go ahead and inhale. Plug your ears and go as long as you can. All right, good job. Let's do one more. Go ahead and inhale. Tongue on the roof of the mouth. And notice, again, take note, where are you feeling the vibration? One more time. Go ahead and inhale through the nose. Get that nitric oxide. And release. And you can change the tone. I don't know if that's annoying for you, so I'm going to stop now. But but essentially, by doing those three breaths, so what you could have done is you'd measure your HRV before, you do the breathing, and then measure HRV after. And if you see that it spiked, it went up, that's good. If it went down, uh-oh, bee breathing might not be the best thing for you. So that's how you can use HRV as in practical terms to actually know. Because I think the problem that I see a lot of times with HRV is that people get stuck on what can I do? And there's too many options. They're like, where do I start? They're like, Dr. Tom, where do I start my healing? Do I do breathing? Do I do vagus nerve? Do I do hydrotherapy? Do I do lymphatic? Do I go ground? Do I go focus on movement? Do I do grounding things? Do I nebulize? Do I do castor oil? Which one do I start with, Dr. Tom? And you would say what?
Any one of them will move you in the right direction, because there is no preferred one to do. Just ultimately, all of them will become part of your life. And not all of them are necessary, because not all of them will gravitate with you individually. But until you try them all, just as you just said, you know, in the last one, we talked about one method of breathing. Now we have a second method. The last podcast that we did, it may be the one that works for you. The one that Julie just did, just like, oh, that didn't feel very good. My HRV went down, so I'm not going to do that one, because it's not the right one that resonates with your particular energy. So, you know, everything about natural laws, everything about the basic treatment guidelines are sort of everyday things. So, you know, you can't go wrong by adding anything. You can't go wrong by increasing the amount of water that you drink every day. You can't go wrong by increasing the number of colors of fruits and vegetables that you eat every day. So there's no right or wrong to any of this. It just takes, however long it takes, to start to incorporate them and make them part of your life. That's all that's important. So there's no, just start somewhere is what we say. There's not like 1 to 10. you don't do one, you could do 10 before you do, you know, number three. So there's no order to this. Just the goal is just start incorporating.
Right. But how you can, so exactly, you're 100% right. Pick one and go from there. But how you can incorporate HRV to see how it resonates with your nervous system is do your HRV score, do the exercise, and then take your HRV score again. And then that'll give you a good idea as to if it resonates with you right here, right now. That is how I use HRV. That's the magic and the power of understanding how can I actually make this applicable. And, you know, people are like, just track your HRV and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, like I have clients, they track, all of my clients track their HRV, and they come in and we talk about like how stressful you're, like, let me check. And they look at their, you know, they look at their averages, and you're like, what happened on this day? What happened on this day? So it helps us, you know, investigate a little bit more of our triggers, because I find a lot of people, again, in the trauma world, don't really know what their triggers are. They really don't. And so in order to help us like dive in, and if you really want to heal, we want to, you know, dive more into what is the, you know, subconscious, what's happening in our subconscious, bring it to our conscious mind. So that's the other thing I wanted to mention, is that HRV is a fantastic biological measure, whereas like the stress bucket is a psychological measure, because we're using our mind to decide how stressed am I in the stress bucket, where HRV is biologically telling us, giving us information. And again, if you're someone who's stuck in a sympathetic survival state, you really don't have access to the biology of, you don't really know, because your body, this is what trauma does. It shuts it down. It shuts down that communication. It doesn't want you to feel. So you're not able to actually tune in. So be an investigator, put your curiosity hat, right? Put your proactive healthcare hat on, and you're like, okay, what is going to work for me? And that's why each podcast now, I'm going to be offering a different movement. I'll call it, I'm not going to say the word exercise, because that could be triggering for some people, right? I said exercise. What'd you think of, Dad? It's the first word that came in your mind, word association.
What my patients always tell me is that I hate going to the gym because I don't like to exercise.
Don't like to exercise. That's... Yeah. So it's usually a negative thing, right? That's natural, really, right? Negative. Sweat. Yeah. It's hard. You know, it's something that I don't want to do. So it's like, okay, what's a movement that we can do and that we can make it, you know, like be breathing, you can do it. Like, I'm like, how can we incorporate it? Just before I check my emails, I can do a bee breath, or just before I sit down to eat, I could do a bee breath. Yeah. So just, or I can do the psychological side like we did last podcast. So again, if you're like, I don't know which one I want to do, honestly, then take the next week and try different things, track your HRV before and after, and you'll have your answer. And you're like, and then also the one that, what my answer would be is, which one do you like the most? Which one do you enjoy? Because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to do it, straight up. That's just how habits work. So if you don't like going to the gym, don't start there. Don't force yourself to do something. Like, you know, some people, I say, you know, walking, we talk a lot about this. I think my dad would agree. Walking's probably the most beneficial movement that you could do for your body, probably mentally, physically, psychologically, energetically, spiritually, all of it, especially depending on where you're walking. But some people can't. And I get that, because they're in pain when they hurt. When they walk, it hurts. And then they walk too far, and then it hurts even more. So, you know, their walking may not be the place to start. Right. So I get that. So that's why it's like, find something that you enjoy and then go from there. When's the best time to track it, would you say, Dad?
I think what you said is the most important, which is you should try it different times of the day. Hopefully when you wake up, you're not going to be too stressed. So hopefully it's decent. And as you go through the day, if you have a tool that can give you multiple readings throughout the day, just like a continuous glucose monitor can, ultimately, that is the preferred way of doing it. But that said, you know, in our clinic, we're not obviously tracking people multiple times with a, you know, with a machine that takes, you know, 15 minutes or so to 20 minutes to measure, you know, multiple parameters that we're actually measuring. We're not just getting a single number. We're getting multiple pieces to put on a puzzle that will help people understand their component. So, you know, I don't have a perfect time, because what I have found in the clinic is that the nervous system is very resistant to change. And even though your HRV will change throughout the day, that's why you said earlier average is most important. Would be because you're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. I mean, based on different circumstances, but what more often, where are you in the middle? And it's the middle that we're trying to change. It's just slowly. And it's not something that, oh, one day because it's low or one day because it's high, oh, good for you. It's like, no, what is the average? And then you track the average over the next weeks, month, year, and as that average moves to a higher level, you know you're reaching a higher level of wellness. So that's really the key thing that we're trying to do. And so everything that we talk about on these podcasts isn't something, oh yeah, you do it for a week and you forget it. Goal is wellness is something that you do until you're 6 feet under, you're going to be doing this stuff because it's all about, ongoing continued wellness throughout, all the years that we're in this form on this earth for what's going on. So we're trying to move the needle, and it doesn't move quickly, especially the nervous system. In my experience, is the most resistant to change of any of our organ systems. As per you are well aware of people who've had a serious spinal cord injury. They're paralyzed for life. As they paralyzed, you break your arm, 6 weeks later it's better. Yeah, you cut your skin and 2 weeks later it's healed. Like, why isn't the nervous system healed like that? It's a totally different system. It's the slowest system that we have in our body to heal. Sometimes to the point when you severely damage your spinal cord, you think of Christopher Reeves, who was, Superman in the movies and, very fit and fortunately fit, had a bad accident on a horse, broke his neck, was paralyzed for the rest of his life. So, it's like, can't we do stem cells? Can't we do all this? Well, maybe one day we'll get there, but we're not there yet. The nervous system is resistant. So don't expect, doing this for a week or a month, and you're going to have great results. We don't, the number, it's not important, as Julie said. It's moving the needle in the direction over a period of the rest of your life is really what's most important. The measurement is the tool that will allow you to see the types of things that you can do for yourself that will have the greatest benefit, whether it's the specific type of breathing, whether it's a specific type of movement, whether it's a specific time to go to bed, whether it's a specific diet to eat, et cetera, et cetera. We do know that, yes, we need to do grounding. Yes, we need to do nebulizer. Yes, we need castor oil, dry skin brushing, eat lots of colors of food, drink half your body weight in ounces of water, et cetera, et cetera. And you will fine tune your own level of wellness, and you won't have to go to the doctor and say, what do I take for my high blood pressure? I mean, the doctor will tell you what to take, but unless you plan on taking it forever, as you start to incorporate these things, you're going to find that, oh, if I take my high blood pressure meds, my blood pressure is too low. Maybe my dose is too high. Maybe I need to reduce the dose that I'm taking. Maybe one day I won't even need to take it, which would be a nice goal ultimately to achieve. And HRV is one of the tools that can be used, the number, to move you in that direction. If you're totally satisfied and don't think you need to change anything, then just keep doing what you're doing. But the people on this podcast, I suspect that's not what their goal is. Their goal is, how do I continue to maintain prevention? How do I keep maintaining my level of wellness so that, I have quality of life until I'm no longer in this particular form? That's really what we're trying to promote here.
And I also just want to put it out there that HRV is different from heart coherence. So if you are someone that is a heart math follower and you understand heart coherence, there is a little bit different. So heart coherence, if you're not familiar, is basically it's a measure of total coherence of all the body systems. So they actually have a different output. So if you actually, heart math has their own device that you can track, but it's basically when you're breathing, your heart, your brain, your hormone are all in sync with each other, your heart coherence will go up. So that is a different measure. But I just, in my world, some people have asked me what's the difference between HRV and heart coherence, because those numbers come out as well, because some people are measuring their HRV using heart math devices. So if you're that person, I just want to do a little side note there. That's all. I just want to make sure that we bring that up, because I mean, the higher your heart coherence, is phenomenal, because it means, like we've said before in previous podcasts, is that all the systems work together. So heart coherence basically means, it means your systems are working together. So we're healing. So I think the biggest problem that humans tend to do when it comes to healing is we get in our body's way. Our bodies are smart. Our bodies, they know how to heal. Like we, for whatever reason, our brains think, I know better than my body. So I'm going to get in the way and I'm going to do this and this and this. And we end up blocking ourselves and not supporting. And so use the HRV as a support system. In terms of, okay, how can I align myself up to support my healing instead of being like, I'm doing this because I know better, right? It's the intention behind it does matter in my experience, especially because we are energy and we're, you know, when we talk about healing on an energetic level, there's that piece. So the HRV will help us with that, and heart coherence can help us with that as well. So I just want to throw that in there. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about with HRV, Dan?
Beyond what we've been talking about, an at-home measurement that you can do for yourself, I'm going to add a more clinical piece that obviously most you won't have access to unless your physician has some instrument to measure in office HRV. That's a little more, provides more information than a single number. I will say that what I have found by paying attention to this instrument on a much more regular basis. Since previous podcasts we've talked about, and many patients will say one of the most common problems of why they go to the doctor is because they're tired. And so in the alternative, I'll call it also in the alternative biological medicine field, naturopathic field, chiropractic, acupuncture, a whole variety. It's pretty common when somebody says that they're tired and they said, oh, check your thyroid. Oh, your thyroid looks fine. Oh, well, then we should give you adrenal because you're under stress. You've had trauma. You have this, that. It must be your cortisol level that's low. And that's why you don't have any energy. So what I have found with using the HRV in clinic wise is that many of the people who are taking adrenal support in the form of a supplement, a vitamin, or, you know, whatever they're doing from that regard, are actually treating the wrong system, and they're actually doing themselves a disservice because it's the proverbial trying to push the square peg through the round hole. And until you address the real problem, which and I would say in 60% of patients who I see are taking adrenal support, and I give adrenal support to patients when it's indicated. But when the HRV shows that your parasympathetic is basically in the negative, and your sympathetic dominance is all you're running on. And I call that meaning having false energy. You have no energy. And so you take adrenaline, oh, I feel so much better. Or I take product X and, oh, I feel so much better. But then 3 months later, you need to take more of the same product and then more of the same product to get the same effect. You actually are going behind, you're losing steam instead of gaining on this picture. So the HRV clinically is a very valuable tool because obviously we can measure your adrenal hormones with a saliva test, a urine test, a blood test, and say, oh, these are your numbers. But in the previous podcast, when we talked about blood tests, you know, we talked about the fact that the reference ranges are so wide that they're really not a whole lot of value for many people. It may put you in the ballpark, but it certainly doesn't get you to home base, which is where we're trying to get people to be, is, you know, to their peak, whatever their, you know, their misgivings are, whatever they've been handed as they came into this world. Everybody, we believe, has the ability to get to home base, you know, as far as their health is concerned. So there are additional clinical tools, more information that can be gleaned from a more, I'll call it a more professional measurement than. But the get started, all these devices that have been talked about today will certainly put you in the picture. Don't freak out about your own individual number. It's the over time is really the key thing, knowing that you're moving in the right direction. And change doesn't have to be painful, because it isn't. Change is actually a very good thing, because we know we're doing very good things. And when you can think clearer, when you can sleep better, when your energy is more steady, when you have your cravings are not there for basically some type of a quick fix to raise a lower cortisol level or a lower blood sugar level, etc. You just are move into a much happier place. And unfortunately, we would be in a much happier world if we were all able to do those types of things.
Absolutely. So to carry on with like why you should be tracking your HRV and the like as my dad said, is the average is the key, right? We want to know where you're averaging. So where, you know, take your measurement for 3 days or whatever, however long your device tells you to. But I want to help you understand like why should you even consider doing this? Because if you're still on the fence, like I don't want to wear a wearable, I don't want to do the actual step of, you know, tracking my stuff and knowing what my average is. This might help you in terms of like getting you to understand that the HRV is a biological, it's a measure of your autonomic nervous system. And a lot of times we really have no idea what's happening in there. But when you start to understand your autonomic nervous system, it'll help you understand how your body responds to triggers. You may not know your trigger, but your HRV will tell you when you've been triggered because your numbers will shift. So if you are someone that you're like, I need to start befriending my nervous system, HRV is a good place to start. Also, by tracking your HRV, it'll help expose the link between your stress, your pain, your mood, and your injuries. So I find a lot of times that people who often, you know, start exercise programs, new year, new me, blah, 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 they tend to burn out really fast or they get injured really quickly. So if you start tracking your HRV, you'll actually be able to possibly prevent yourself from an overuse injury or burning yourself out and be like, well, this didn't work for me. Well, it didn't work for you because you're stressing out your system, right? So if you're that person that goes to the gym and whatnot, or whatever, you're like starting a new walking program, or you're starting a new Pilates program or a yoga session, whatever thing, new thing that you're trying, track your HRV because it'll tell you if your body is stressed out about it or if it's doing well, and it'll help you prevent injuries, which is awesome. And it actually can help guide you in terms of knowing how, like, so let's say your HRV is a lower average today. It can help you know how much self-care time you need that day, or that how you have to schedule, you might have to schedule, you know, your next couple days and use it as a predictor of, you know, like I need some time off and adjusting your schedule. You know, I might need a scheduled massage or take a bath or do some breathing or do a vagus nerve or whatever. It's a great predictor of how hard you can push yourself. So if you know you have a big project coming up, know that you need to schedule time after for you to recover from that and not just go into the next project and hit it. So hopefully, I mean, those are some reasons why. Hopefully this podcast has convinced you to track it, because I don't know, I've been in this industry for a long time and I don't know another a device that's accessible to measure our stress and really help bridge the gap between our mind and our body and help us really get befriend our nervous system. It's so easy to do. Like you said, you can wear a wearable or, you know, download a Visible app or whatever free HRV app is out there. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. But HRV is powerful. Get to know your nervous system, my friends, because as my dad and I have, you've pretty much deduced, dis-ease in the body is really linked to stress. And so we need to be able to start monitoring our stress and be a better advocate of what can we do? What can I do to help support my nervous system and my stress levels? Cool. You want to add anything
else?
Well
said. Well said. Definitely.
All right.
Well said. They should have the picture by now that they should all be rushing to get an HRV somehow or another to find out where you got to start somewhere.
This downloading the app right start. Now.
Download the app.
Download the app. Yeah. Do it now. Don't wait. All right. And then that way, and then do, you know, get your first 3 days of measurements and then, you know, start doing the breathing exercises that you're going to do with us or the vagus nerve, or seriously, go to my Instagram page. I'm hosting a masterclass starting January 16th on how to befriend your nervous system. And I'll be showing you some exercises. So if you tracked your HRV with those exercises, oh my God, magic people, magic healing. If you don't know where to start, I got you. Real good. So thanks so much for listening. We appreciate you being here. And we look forward to sharing our next topic of diving more into breath work. We've been talking about some of the tools. So we're going to dive more into some of the specific tools to help you support your stress levels and your nervous system. And breath work for people stuck in sympathetic or survival state is our next topic. So thanks so much for being here. And we'll talk to you next time.
Talk to you next time. Have a good day.
We want to remind you that knowledge isn't power. Applied knowledge is power. where knowledge turns to experience. We encourage you to implement the information shared, allowing you to shift your health and energy. And if this is your first time listening, we truly appreciate you being here and would love to have your support by subscribing to our channel. We also love hearing from you, so please connect with us and share your thoughts. And if you have any ideas for future podcasts, please let us know. If you're interested in learning more about biological medicine or trauma-informed movement, check out the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future.